Even as presidential candidates deliver their messages across the nation, Bruce Springsteen is traveling the country delivering his.
This is a song called Living in the Future, but it's about what's happening now.
Springsteen and his E Street Band just resumed the tour for an album called Magic. Since they last performed a few months ago, the presidential field has gone from many candidates to a few.
But I feel a new wind blowing through the air.
The author of Born in the USA and The Rising performed last week in Hartford, Connecticut. He also sat down to talk about mixing music and politics.
An election year is a year where people have a debate about the type of country they want to live in. And I like the band being out there and being a small part of that debate.
Which Springsteen was in 2004. He campaigned for Democrat John Kerry. Though Kerry lost, Springsteen's new album refers to a famous line from Kerry's youth. The Vietnam veteran once said, "How do you ask a man to be the last man to die for a mistake?" Bruce Springsteen is 58 years old. On stage, he still swings around the microphone stand like a gymnast on a sawhorse. Backstage, he sits on the edge of a couch. He keeps his hands on the seat behind him. He doesn't always make eye contact, so he seems almost shy as he talks about politics.
You can be marginally helpful, but you can also be marginally destructive if it's not handled well and if it's not authentic.
When you're writing a song that has political content, do you find yourself saying, "That's too overt, it's going to beat people over the head, you got to shave the line"?
Yeah,
a little
I do
bit.
That all the time. I mean, it's a tricky bit of business because for me the song has to have a life both outside of its political context and at the same time contain your politics. And
meaning it has to work as a song even if you don't follow the politics.
I think for me, yeah. I mean, otherwise you're stuck with a headline, you know, or you're stuck on a soapbox. And there's times for that. But for me, I wanted the music to have sort of a variety of lives, you know, and so somebody could listen to A Lonesome Day and it can sound like a breakup song or it can sound like 2001.
In so many of those human stories that you tell, you create characters, whether it's a steel worker or a guy cooking methamphetamine, someone committing a crime, or a kid in the Bronx, characters who, even if they do something wrong or bad, are affected by circumstances beyond their control. What makes you focus on that kind of story?
I guess it was just a story that I learned early on that I told well, you know. So I forget who said it, but somebody said that interesting musicians or artists are the people that have something eating at them constantly. So I was drawn to those specific questions, I think, probably because of the way that I grew up, because I could feel those forces later on when I looked back at my childhood and the effect on my father's life, but my mother's life also. Those were the questions that arose, you know, how they came to live the kinds of lives that they lived. And you know,
how were they affected by circumstances beyond their control, your parents?
Well, let me see. My folks grew up in, there was a little town. My father struggled very hard to sustain a job and to hold on to work, and they both barely scraped by. I always remember my mother. We had a finance company that was like 100 yards from our house, you know. And it was just a part of our life, you know. My mother would go in March and she would borrow till the summer, and then she would pay off. And when she got it paid off, she would go and borrow again, and it would get us through the next. It was this constant cycle of financial struggle, you know. And they had a pretty difficult life, you know. And amazingly enough, you know, we were pretty protected from most, a lot of it, I think. You know, my mother was, and remains to me quite, you know, quite noble, because she was the picture of consistency. You know, she got up in the morning, got us off to school, went to work, and this went on day after day after day after day.
When you write in a song called Long Walk Home, that, well, it seems you're saying, it seems the character is saying that the country is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, the flag flying over the courthouse means certain things are set in stone. Who we are, what we'll do, and what we want. You describe what the flag is supposed to stand for.
Mm-hmm.
That things are not turning out the way it is supposed to be. Is there a time that things were right in this country?
I'm not sure that's exactly the way to look at it. I think that the song doesn't look back nostalgically. It looks more towards the future, I think, you know. And also, it also looks towards right now, the course we're on, and to how well is the American promise kept for most American citizens. I mean, if you look back through the past 6 years and you see what's happening. I don't need to spiel through the litany. You know, there's no habeas corpus, the curtailing of the civil rights. You realize how easy it is for those ideals to be subverted. So the idea was that guy is trying to talk to his son and say, look, there are these things that are supposed to be sacred, and they make us who we are, and they direct us and guide us in what we do. Those things are important to remember, never more so than when the country's under stress and under, you know, when times are hard, you know. And that's where we are right now. It's gonna be a
long walk home. Bruce Springsteen's latest album is called Magic. He also explained how politics grew into his music over the years. And there's an audio slideshow on Springsteen's influences at npr.org/music. In town, I play a sales grocery. Barber shop on South Street. I looked into their faces. They're all rank strangers to me. There's a veterans hall high up on the hill. Still sound.